Either go to Mark 13:31 or Luke 21:33. They say exactly the same thing. If you haven't figured that out yet, I understand. It's probably because you've had a long week. You've been right at it, but we're glad you're here this morning in the house of God. I've got a sermon that God's been dealing with my heart about, but I'll be honest, I'm waiting on the timing of God to preach it because I don't want to lose a bunch of you when I preach it. So I have to catch everyone in the right frame of mind to receive it. There is a direction of God. Every sermon's not for every season. Sometimes sermons are not for everybody. Sermon is for one. Today it's not do we please others. It's do we please the Lord, because the Lord knows the need of the message today. I think that we're going to be in a great dilemma in this country, not because of what's happening in the area of politics or education. It is because of the decline for knowledge of the Word of God. There will be a famine for knowledge of the Word of God at the end of time. And we are there. We've never had more Bibles, but yet read them less or know less about them. And we need to know what thus saith the Lord. He makes it very plain in this passage. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. One time F.B. Meyer, that great preacher of yesteryear, was asked to interpret that. And this is what he pinned down. If any promise of God should fail, the heavens would clothe themselves with sackcloth. The sun and the moon and the stars would reel from their courses. The universe would rock, and a hollow wind would moan through a ruined creation at the awful fact that God can lie. God cannot lie. What He said He would do in His Word, He will do. But we have certainly strayed so far from the teachings of the Word of God. We've never had more availability, but never utilized it any less than we do today. History is filled with people that no matter how much they try to rewrite history, there's things that they can't change. There was a time in America where America knew the power of the Word of God. Preachers knew it in the pulpit. Politicians knew it when they'd go out. In fact, they would not even attempt to try to say or do anything without the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, look, I know that it's rough. This is political season. But I want to make this clear. I do not believe that someone's a Christian just because they say they're a Christian. See, their definition of Christianity is not the same as my definition of Christianity. You don't have to agree with me, but I think a Christian has repented of their sins, confessed their sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe they confess that Jesus is Savior and Lord, and I think there is a change in our life. And to me, Christians don't do certain things. Now, we're not saved because of the things we do or don't do, but I'm saying if I say that I'm a Christian, the world will hold me to a higher standard. So don't be deceived today, because there's people, preachers, that'll say they're Christians but never been born again. There's leaders that'll say they're Christians but never have any regard for the Word of God. But we did have that in our past. Our past heritage is filled with it. Think of people like Abraham Lincoln, who he himself, we have no documented record that he had a born-again experience, but I want you to listen to how he regarded the Word of God. A skeptic came to him one day and was shocked to see Abraham Lincoln reading the Bible. And when he asked him about it, he told this individual, this skeptic, take all that you can of this book based upon reason, and the balance take by faith. You will live and die a happier man. He said, but for this book, we could not know right from wrong. He said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through the Bible. We know that D.L. Moody said, the Bible was not given for information, but for transformation. D.L. Moody also said, sin will keep you from this book, the Bible, but the Bible will keep you from sin. Billy Graham says the Bible is the constitution of Christianity. We know that also other great leaders of the past, for example, C.H. Spurgeon said a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Billy Sunday said the reason you don't like the Bible is you're an old sinner. It is because the Bible knows everything there is to know about you. James Merritt, a great preacher living today, said the primary purpose of reading the Bible is not to know the Bible, but to know God. Patrick Henry in our history, the American Revolutionary leader and orator, said, there is a book worth all other books which ever were printed, and it's the Bible. President George Washington said it's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and Bible. Woodrow Wilson said when you have read the Bible, you know it is the Word of God because it is the key to your heart, your own happiness, and your own duty. Theodore Roosevelt said a thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. Horace Greeley said it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom. Jim McCotter said all Scripture is God-breathed and God doesn't waste His breath. Pretty powerful, isn't it? We know when Sir Walter Scott, the poet and novelist, was dying, he turned to his son-in-law, Lockhart, and said, "Son, please bring me the book." The son-in-law was a bit uncertain, and he went over to Walter Scott's library and looked at that huge library and said, "Sir, but which book?" Immediately, Sir Walter Scott said, "My son, there is but one book. Bring me the book." Lockhart took his Bible, and he said, "Yes, that's the book." Can I tell you, the Bible stands out above all other books that anyone will ever hold in their hands or believe in their heart. There is no Bible, nothing in the world, no book like the Bible. And it has changed our lives forever. And also, I'll say this, if we cannot preach from the Bible, we have nothing to preach at all. Voltaire went on a rampage to try to destroy the work of God. He would hold up his Bible and he would say, "This book will be swept from existence and be in obscurity within 100 years. But yet just 50 years later, the Geneva Bible Society printed Bibles from the very press in his house and used his house to store Bibles. Voltaire is gone, but the Word of God lives on. 1,000,000 years from today, God's Word will still be God's Word, pure and true and holy. If I base my life on my words will be but just a fleeting moment of time and they'll pass away. But the Word of God will be there after the sun has fallen from its socket, after the moon has disappeared to blood and gone into nothingness, after every island is swallowed up from the sea, every star has fallen from the sky, after this world and all the works therein melt with a fervent heat, the Word of God will still be the Word of God. And you can rest assured, if your faith is built and established on God's Word, it will endure all things. I put together a little compilation of my view of the Word of God from people that I've read from, people that I've studied after for all the years. And this is my compilation of the Bible. When I think about the Bible, it tells me of the mind of God, the state of man, the doom of sinners, the way of salvation, and the happiness of heaven. Its doctrine is pure, its precepts are binding, and its history is true. It is given in life, it will be opened in judgment, and it'll be remembered in eternity. It involves the highest responsibility, but it also rewards the greatest labor and condemns all who oppose it. It is a mine of wealth, a river of joy, a paradise of pleasure. It is a light to guide you. It is food to feed you. It is comfort to cheer you. It is the pilgrim's staff. It is the pilot's compass and the traveler's map. It should fill the mind. It should rule the heart. And it should guide the feet. We should read it slowly. We should read it frequently. And we should read it prayerfully. We should read it to be wise and practice it to be holy and believe it to be saved. If you're ever going to make it to heaven, it's because you believe what God has recorded in this book that we call the Bible. Think about how our soul should be thrilled about the construction of it. This book is not just merely the words of men, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed this word that we're preaching to you today. And even though time has beat against it and skeptics have hammered on it, the word of God still stands. Think about how it was put together over time. 40 authors. Over 1,500 years of writing. They came from three different languages. Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, the three major languages spoke inside your Bible. It was written on three different continents. Think about that. Three different continents for the Word of God, Africa, Asia, and Europe. Well, where Europe? When Paul was imprisoned, he was imprisoned in Europe. But there in prison, God gave him the Word. It was written in different literary forms from people from different walks of life. Just suppose that you would ask a doctor, a lawyer, farmers, laborers, priests, prophet, fishermen, judges. Just ask them all to write a book. 66 books in your Bible. Each one from a different walk of life. And tell them, when you write this book, I want it to be about theology. You know what you'd have at the end of it if you tapped that many people? 40 different people from different walks of life, from different areas, from different social walks. You know what you'd have at the end of it? 40 different opinions. But if you look at the Word of God, every word agrees with every other word. You can study the Word of God and interpret the Word of God by taking verse against verse, precept against precept. It didn't matter if it was written 2,000 years before Christ came or if it was written in the early church after Christ had ascended back to heaven. They all agree together and they all come together. How is it that all of them can have a different background of life, speak different languages, but still talk about the same thing throughout all of it? You say, well, that's a miracle within itself. It is a great miracle within itself, how God brought His Word together. I'm trying to tell you, it's not by chance and it's not by coincidence. I can stand here today and tell you stories and it not do one thing to you, but I can tell you the Word of God, and if you believe what's inside the Word of God, there is salvation for your soul, there is healing for your body, there is hope in the hour of despair, there is comfort in the time of sorrow and grief. There is friendship in the hour of loneliness. You can trust God's Word in all things, through all things, by all things. It is the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word shall not pass away. It shall endure forever. It's the Word of God. Think about the construction of it. And then think about the preservation of it. How God has preserved it. I'm amazed at how people that claim it's unintelligent to believe the Word of God have no problems believing other works. Sometimes it's not even been preserved properly. I think of the writing of F.B. Meyer. Will you give me a moment just to read a little something that he wrote? F.B. Meyer penned this years ago. He was in the century before us, lived and preached. And he said, my reason for not wanting the Bible mended. Let me pause right there. They're sure mending it. But how do you fix something that's not broken? But he said, my reason for not wanting the Bible mended in the first place is because in its present shape, it is a marvel of preservation. while 1,500 years after Herodotus wrote his history, there was only one manuscript copy of his book. While after 1,200 years after Plato wrote, only one copy of his book remained. But God took such good care of the Bible that we have 50 manuscript copies of the New Testament alone. And there are more than 1,000 years of age on many of those copies at the time he wrote it. Some have dated back as far as 1,500 years of age. I ask you, men and women of common sense, if you think that a good God would allow his book to get into 300 different languages and 300 million copies, now confront 4/5 of the human race in their own tongue. If this book were not true and right, would a good God allow that? Not one of 1,000 books lives a year. In other words, after 1 year, the book is gone. Not one of 50,000 books lived for a century. All of the Bible has lived now for 18 centuries and much of it for 58 centuries. And has more rebound than when first placed upon parchment or papyrus. This book saw the cradle of all other books, and it will see the grave of all other books. I'm here to tell you that all of the philosophies that mankind has built upon will decay and rot away. Everything that you're putting your trust in by saying it's of greater importance than the Word of God, you hear me? They'll be in their grave, they'll be gone, and they'll never be mentioned. But the Word of God will go on and on and on and on, long beyond the days of your life, long beyond the thoughts in your mind. Think out into yonder future as far as you can, and you'll see the Word of God will still stand. You say, what will be your hope in the hour of judgment when the book, the Word of God, is opened? And I can stand upon the authority of God's Word and say that I am not saved by my own merits, nor by my own works, nor by my own goodness. I am saved in accordance to the Word of God. You hear me today? I don't care what chains have you bound. I don't care how far in sin you have gone. The Word of God has power over everything that you face in life. There is power in the Word of God to tell us the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth from all sin. Not part, not just a fraction, but every sin we've ever committed, there is power in the blood of Jesus to take those sin away. The truth of the matter is, it's what you think about the Word of God. Your battle's not against me. It's not against this church. It has to do with the Word of God. What do you think about the Bible? That's the key question. The Bible has a revelation. The watermark that's revealed on every page of the Word of God is Jesus Christ. It's all a revelation of Him. You say, I want to know Jesus better. You need to know His Word better. The more of His Word we know, the better we know Him. The relationship is personal, but it only comes about through us studying the Word of God and knowing the Word of God. I dealt with someone this week. They were having some problems. And they said, what's your opinion? I said, give me a few days to pray about it and I'll respond. A couple of days later, I sent them an email. I said, here's the response. I sent them through about 30 verses of Scripture. They contacted me back and said, you didn't say one thing. I said, because I can't add one thing to the Word of God. The answer to your problem is in the Word of God. The reason that you cannot find power with Christ is because you cannot find association and relationship with His Word. When you make His Word a part of you, Jesus is the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Therefore, the more that we know of His Word, the more we know of Him. But now we're trying to find some side door, some cheap excuse to get close to the Lord when we don't want to see the real truth. And that is, if we want to know more about Jesus, we've got to do what His Word says to do. I knelt at the altar with an individual one time that had prayed for an extended period of time. They had prayed and they had prayed and they had prayed. And I said, "What's the problem?" They said, "I don't know. There's something there and I don't know what it is." And I said, "I love you, but that's not scriptural." Kind of shocked him. Said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul to the spirit and the joints to the marrow." They said, "Well, what's that got to do with my problem?" I said, "You're trying to tell me your problem's so deep that God cannot sever it by the Word of God. And that's an impossibility. If you come to the altar and you ask God, show me what it is, the Word of God will slice it right down to places that we can't even imagine. If I ask any one of you here today, tell me the difference between the soul and the spirit, you wouldn't be able to do it probably. You'd have a hard time describing the difference between the soul and the spirit. But do you know the Word of God separates the soul from the spirit? And you mean to tell me that the Word of God doesn't have power to separate the very thing that's holding you back from finding victory in the Lord Jesus Christ? The truth of the matter is, if you do not put your faith in the Word of God, you cannot have assurance of your salvation. For the writer said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may know that you have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may know that you have eternal life. These things have I written unto you. He's saying, if you do what the Word says, God obligates Himself to His Word, and God will not lie. God will do exactly what He said He would do. So it's too late for you to tell me that the Word of God doesn't have the answer to the problem in your life. Hasn't answered every problem. You say, for my problem? Yes, for your problem. You say, I need money. You told on yourself. Give and it shall be given unto you. Maybe you don't need more money. Maybe you need more wisdom to use what you've got. See, there's some people, if they got $200,000 a year, their life wouldn't change at all. I better move on. That's not going over good. You say, preacher, is there really that much power in the Word of God? Absolutely. 2,000 years ago, Jesus bought and purchased the church that the early Romans said will stomp out this Christianity and it will not stand. But they underestimated the power of God's Word. They took church leaders even after the apostles had been martyred and the early Christians had been martyred. They took people like Polycarp and they tied him up, said, we're going to take your life and literally burn you alive unless you recant your faith in the Word of God. You know what Polycarp said? 86 years have I served Him. How then can I blaspheme the name of God? There's a historical record, not biblical record, that when they had lashed Polycarp and they tried to light the fire, that his blood ran down and put the flames out. You can't take a child of God's life and end it because it's not yours. Many years ago, a man came to me, threatened my life. And I looked him in the eye and said, don't you threaten me with heaven, buddy. I'm telling you, we're nearer heaven than we've ever been before. and the essence of your life and your spiritual relationship does not lie in the fact of what you think of me or what you think of others or how good you think you are. The truth of the matter is, do you believe the Word of God? If you believe the Word of God, there is power through His Word. It is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, the Jew first and also the Greek. If you believe it, God says, I will do it according to my word. He doesn't need any more word. He's given us the beginning. He's given us the end. The truth of the matter is, what do you think of the Word of God?